Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Hello, this is the Brown Briefly podcast and weekly radio show coming to you live from Vachon Island, Washington, in the middle of the Salish Sea. Easy to say that. In the middle of the Salish Sea.
Sea sold, sea shells.
Right, exactly. And radiating from one of the centers of island cultural activity, broadly defined, known formally as the Gene Bosch Voice of Vachon Broadcast Studio in the bustling and bodacious heart of our rapidly changing island community. That was the voice of our founder, Brian Brown. Together, we, the Briefly, strive to keep Brian's bright flame alive by bringing you weekly episodes of, we hope, intelligent discussion of current events, laced with humor and empathy, and always guided by Brian's mantra of less is more, more or less. So, our Briefly panel this morning, at the control board, as he usually is, keeping us safe on our glide path, is reformed Texan. I think you're truly reformed, aren't you?
Mostly.
Orthodox.
Yes. Member of the University of Montana, not Montana State University,
no.
As he very clearly made to me, marching band, and an Army intelligence specialist, which is not really an oxymoron. More or less, right?
More or less,
right.
It's a mixed metaphor, I think.
And joining Truman is our legal beagle.
Before you go, I have a very important announcement.
Okay,
to make.
Announce. Is this an April Fool's joke?
No. By a unanimous vote of the Voice of Vachon board, KVSH Radio is being rebranded Radio Free Vachon. And we only can speak the truth to our sequestered population of Vachon and Maury Islands.
Keep it in the bubble.
Yes. So there you go. I just wanted to make that important announcement.
Okay. Appreciate that. You might want to have a disclaimer that follows that particular.
Well, that today is April 1st. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. So this is the Gene Bosch studio of Voice of Free Vachon. Yeah. Free Radio Vachon.
Radio
right?
Free Vachon. That's it.
Yes. Radio Free Vachon.
Yeah.
Got
I like
that.
It.
Woo. So joining Truman is our legal beagle, mediator, Fulbright scholar, shoe salesman, Pinkerton guard, and former Washington State Assistant Attorney General Craig Bellis.
Hi, everyone. Actually, I brought that up at the board meeting.
Did you really?
I did.
Okay.
And I said, not as a joke.
No. Yeah.
I said that we may be having to think more about the fact that the Voice of America has been put out of business after 80 years or something.
Yeah.
And our responsibilities, because we are broadcast every single place in the known universe.
Exactly right.
We might have to take a little more serious. And God forbid we should cut out the tomfoolery, but we'll never do that.
No.
That's
never.
Right.
No.
Let's hope not, right?
Yeah.
Part-time Politico. Newly appointed director of Vachon Household.
True.
Yes.
Not an April Fool's.
Not an April Fool's joke. Mm-hmm. Water transit miracle worker, full-time shenanigans coordinator, Amy Dreyer.
Hello. Happy rainy Tuesday.
Well, not too much longer, we hope, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are getting into spring. And, of course, mariner, backpacker, rocket scientist, and haven't flipped a quad in yet. Which needs explanation. Beginning Vachon Island Rowing Club member Kevin Jones.
Hey, that's me. And I was just thinking about the Radio Free Vachon, RFV, not to be confused with RSV. Is that the one?
Yes, that's correct.
Or RFK.
Any of those. Yeah, you have to be very careful.
Yes, right. Those acronyms are flying around.
Indeed.
And our small, our small talk guest today is, believe it or not, April Fool.
I thought it was going to be the queen.
April Fool.
That's right.
Well, who is the fool on the hill? I'm not sure.
Well, and I'm historian Bruce Hallman, and I was taken in by one of my fellow Briefly's April Fool's joke when I came up to the door of the Gene Bosch studio in bustling and bodacious downtown Vashon. There was a sign on the door, and the sign said, "Attention, electronic lock malfunction. Please use door at rear of studio. Help on the way. Sorry for the inconvenience." And then he signed it, Kate Dowling, who is the director. So it looked
very official.
And it was on Voice of Vashon letterhead. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there is no back door studio. And the lock was working. However, I stood there for 5 minutes waiting for him to pull around before he let me in.
When you took off to go around the building, I thought maybe I should. It's raining out there. I'll let you.
And you must admit, Amy, that when she walked in, she did look at the back wall and go, is there a door back there?
And then I commented, we discover all kinds of things on Vashon Island.
That's right.
All the time. I didn't know that was there.
Yeah, amazing. Secret door. Mm-hmm.
So we only have one exit when we have to get out of here.
Indeed,
right?
But it's a big one, so there you go.
All right. So before we start this week's April Fool's show, let's check in with everybody about their weeks. Amy, what's been up for you?
Oh, well, I returned from Denver yesterday. We are selling the house in Denver so that Aaron can move up here, which is very exciting.
Very nice. Mm-hmm.
Yep. A terrifying time to be selling your home, of course. Mm. But also, so I was back for about 10 days and I felt like I was back for 20 days because, you know, all we did was pack and pack and pack. And the movers came Sunday afternoon, you know, so there's always that, like, all the random things that go in a box, you know. It's like, you know, a vase plus a knife plus, you know, like a handkerchief plus. You're like, here's this box.
Yeah, what do we call it?
Yeah, misc. Right.
Yeah.
Cellular level of exhaustion. But we did also, of course, because of shenanigans, celebrate the house because we've been there for some 18 years.
Wow.
And, you know, lots of memories. The first house we bought together. So we had actually, because when you're moving, you should also be having friends in town, hosting friends in town and their kids in the house. So we had some celebrations and we had a drink the good stuff dinner. We drank down some of our wine cellar and also did one of our favorite shenanigans, which is sabering champagne bottles, which is one of the most fun things that you can do. So that was probably my highlight. You can take almost kind of any instrument that you can, you know, like hit the brim of the cork with and just, you know, everything has to be super chilled and pop off it goes.
Ah, mm-hmm. Okay.
It's very celebratory.
What's that called
again?
Does
it spray everywhere?
It's called sabering.
Sabering.
So like you do it with a large saber, right?
Yeah,
like,
I got it.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah. So it just kind of, you know, if you do it cleanly, you know, it just right off.
And most bottles have a seam that runs all the way down the side, and you want to run it right up
right
there.
Right up that seam. Mm-hmm. Boy, you learn something new. I'll tell you, this Brown Briefly. I mean, it's just full of information. You know?
No fooling.
We need to sell
that
seats.
Time I spent, that time I spent learning samurai swordsmanship comes in handy.
There you go. That's right.
Yeah, meanwhile,
that's
there's just people wandering around downtown Vashon just trying to, like, knife bottles, right? And you can do it with any bottle that has that lip. If you catch that lip with, you could do it with a lady's shoe, for instance, Craig.
Mm-hmm.
You can do anything that, like, will cleanly catch that lip, and just if it's all super chilled, pop it right off.
Just try not to get slivers of glass back in the bottle.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Craig, how are you this week?
I'm good. We had a wonderful week, but the highlights were probably Friday. One was a indivisible meeting, a committee that I'm on with my fellow Briefly, Kevin, we had another excellent meeting. But that night on Friday was the last Friday theme night at the Coop, and the theme was socially significant songs, and the place was packed.
just packed. It was a wonderful, wonderful night. And next month's theme on the last, that's the name of that's a little misleading. It sounds like it's the last one we're ever having, but it's the last Friday of the month theme song or theme night. It's all Willie Nelson.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Wow.
All Willie. I already put my requested songs in. You're supposed to, if you want to sing, you put in, you know, first choice, second choice, third choice, and we'll see.
So it nicely complements First Friday.
It does.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's
you begin Friday the month celebrating art. You end the month celebrating
music. And
this
Thursday coming up, first Thursday, is when I have my morning scramble with Mike Nichols, the maestro of the mouth harp. And I also have Mr. Holtz, Stephen Holtz, who goes by the nickname White Devil. Or the Spanish version, which would be a Blanco, Diablo Blanco.
Diablo Blanco, see.
So, that's it.
Well, sounds like an exciting week. Kevin, have you flipped a quad yet?
No, I haven't, actually. It's a suspense is yet to come. Who knows what might happen. But we did get out rowing, so that was really nice. We had a bit of a south wind. So you always, the beauty of launching off of that Shell Midden Beach there at Jensen Point is that you can go north or south, and the point can shield you from any wind that has any easterly component. So that's always good. So yeah, we went and visited Judd Creek outflow and did racing starts. It's apparently, you know, a newbie on the water here, but apparently it's a sprint season, which means racing starts in a rowing shell is something that you have to experience. It's kind of a whole different activity.
And it's really high tides early in the morning right now, isn't it?
It's a short walk to the water, yeah, so you know, that's always a plus, and so that's good. But I have to say, I was too pooped to coop. Unfortunately, I had it on the list, but you know, Susie and I.
You want to try to avoid that, but, yeah, that's an expression I hadn't heard. Very good.
So yeah, Susie and I looked at each other and was like, "Well, the will is there, but the you know, that, yeah, but otherwise, yeah.
Your body's writing checks, or your mind's writing checks. Yeah. Your body can't cash."
Yes, but I did. I did actually get the bike out on the road, so there was some sunny days there. So yeah, rode up and had some great conversations at Minglement with some friends. And IRS tax returns are going in the mail today. Right. It's off my list. Finally done. Check the box and good to go. I'm thinking next year though, my federal tax dollars need to be sent to Bob Ferguson, and I'll tell the federal administration to go get the money from him.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
You know, we'll see how that works out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there won't be anyone to audit you, so it's going to work out just fine.
Well, there is an old concept Bruce could probably tell us about. Mm-hmm. It's commonly referred to as taxation without representation.
Yes.
And we do have an individual who seems to be legislating quite liberally who is never elected.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a similar concept.
Yes. I think you need to use a different term other than liberally.
Enthusiastically.
There you go.
So, Truman, how was your week?
Oh, man, I had a great week. Spent a week down in Ashland, Oregon. And I have to tell you a little bit about Ashland to start with. Not only does Greg's kids, son, daughter, and granddaughter live there, but it's also the home of the Southern Oregon University. And it's most well known for the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, OSF, which was founded back in 1935. So this is their 90th season this year. It was founded by Angus Bomer, who was an English professor there at that time, Southern Oregon Normal School. And it became Southern Oregon University. But the other thing that's there is the Oregon Cabaret Theater is there, which my wife and I just discovered a few years ago. I mean, it's been there for a long time, but it's fabulous. And another new group is the Rogue Theater Company. And so I just wanted to tell you about the plays that we saw this year because they were quite unique. We started with the Rogue Theater Company, and they did Doubt, a Parable. That's a 2004 play by John Patrick Stanley. There are five members of the cast in the play. Later in 2008, a movie was made where they shortened the name to Doubt. I don't know if you folks have seen it. It's a fabulous movie. Meryl Streep, Amy Adams, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Viola Davis. Amazing film. But what we found fascinating, I mean, the play was really, really great. But what I found fascinating was that the whole idea of doubt, and they make the audience doubt their own, you know, what's going on. And when you see the movie, you think, oh, this guy, no, he's bad. And then you go, well, maybe he's not. But in the play that we saw, we went, oh, the guy's really good. And then you go, maybe he's not, you know. I mean, it's a totally different feel. I was fascinated by that. Anyway, then I got to tell you about OSF, the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. The only Shakespeare that we saw was Julius Caesar. And what was unique about that, it was an all-female cast, which was pretty cool and really superbly done. We were very impressed. Then the Oscar Wilde play, The Importance of Being Earnest, that I've always wondered what that was about, and it is hilarious. I mean, the writing is just beyond great. And then the next one was an August Wilson play called Jitney, and that was fascinating. Again, the writing, just amazing. I was so impressed with that. And the last thing we saw was a play called Fat Ham. And it's very, 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 very loosely based on Hamlet and a barbecue in the backyard in a black neighborhood. But it is just bizarre, I've got to tell you. If anybody asks you about Fat Ham, just go, okay, whatever it is. But anyway, excellent. That was my week. So yeah. I thought I'd tell you about it.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, sounds like a fascinating week.
Oh, it was great.
I would have liked to have spent the week there.
Oh, it was fabulous. Really was. Just great.
Fascinating thing about The Importance of Being Earnest is it's a comedy, and it's funny. But it's also a subtext in it is about the Irish potato famine.
Oh.
Because it's all about upper class English eating cucumber sandwiches and all this sort of stuff. I mean, is it all this food stuff built into it that... Yeah. Wilde, who was Irish, you know, was sort of putting in this subtext, a dig at the English aristocracy about their lack of concern during the potato famine of the 1840s and 50s.
That.
Yeah. Interesting sort of subtext there.
Well, one of the other things they did, which I thought was unique, was that instead of having it being set in England, it was actually in Malaysia.
Oh, interesting.
In this particular production. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure why they did it, except that the two main characters were of Asian origin. So maybe they decided to do that because of that. But anyways, fascinating and funny.
English cucumber sandwiches, no matter where you are in the world, right?
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
So my week was not very eventful. It was kind of a quiet week. But sort of let me promote two things coming up this week. Friday, you know, August 4th.
August 4th. April 4th. Well, it's April 4th.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right. Save the date. Right.
There went the summer. No. Bruce Mercer is having an opening of his work at VCA. And Bruce Mercer is just an amazing artist, sort of a designer, you know, incredible sort of a body of work from National Geographic to museum installations to just a whole range of things. And so it should be just a knockout show. It'll be really interesting. And then later in the month, I think around the 15th or 16th, he's going to do a talk about his work at VCA. So get those on your calendar. And then, go ahead.
I was going to say, but wait, there's more.
There's more. Yeah.
So straddling that April 4th date, on the 3rd of April, it turns out that there is a art build at the Backbone Campaign warehouse at the Sheffield Building from 3 to 6 in the afternoon, April 3rd, for artwork that you just might want to bring with you to April 5th, which is a Saturday, which is all kinds of places all around in Puget Sound and across the country, hands-off protests. So expectation is that tens of thousands of people will turn out. Invisible Vashon is heading to Olympia. Right. We've got a few different boats you can take to get to the location. We plan to arrive about 12:30, When the setup, look for our banner. If you go to Olympia, it's the Tivoli Fountain areas where we're going to be setting up with the crowd. The speeches start at 2 o'clock and they run till 4. So there's a couple of boats you can catch. But get out somewhere. If you just basically online hands off, you will find a multitude of places you can go.
I got to flush that. Flesh that out. The one in Seattle is at the Seattle Center, and it's right by the fountain, and it goes from noon until 3. Pramila will be there for that. Mm-hmm. So you've got that opportunity if you want to go northeast.
Mm-hmm. And it's hands off our Social Security, hands off right. our health care, hands off whatever it is that they're grabbing a hold of that we don't want them to take away. Today, April 5th is the day to be out.
And this is taking place all across the country, right?
All across the country.
Primary focus is at state capitals. Is that correct?
It's
everywhere.
It's Seattle, Tacoma, multiple places. I don't know how many total sites there are now that have hosting events, but pretty much you're going to be able to find something close by.
I'd read somewhere 11,000 protest sites right now all across the country, you know, and every state capital. So it'll be fascinating to see how many people do show up and whether it makes any impact. That's the other thing is whether it hits the radar screen of those folks in charge. Mm-hmm. So today is April Fool's Day, April 1st.
Oh, wait,
1st.
Can I do one plug for an event?
Please.
Also on April 5th, if you've been protested and you did your civic duty and you just want to come back to the island and have a great time, Senior Center Rainbow Blingo will be on Saturday, April 5th at Camp Burton. They do have some seats available, which is rare. So plan to get on down to Camp Burton because it's one of the best times you're going to have on the island. I never miss Rainbow Blingo.
It's a kick. It's really a kick and worth going to. So today is April 1st, April Fool's Day. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about the foolish things all of us have done or experienced during this day in the past and today. But first, today is a day for practical jokes and hoaxes. But there's basically no really known origins for it. I sort of looked around and went back and dug as deep as I could. And, I mean, there's lots of things in the past that sort of indicate that it could be the origins of it. But there's no sort of formal way to identify when it started. But it goes back into the Middle Ages, 12 and 1300s. One of the most memorable occurred in 1957. 8 million people in Great Britain tuned in to see a 3-minute BBC production of it was entitled Swiss Spaghetti Harvest. And what they'd done is they'd created spaghetti trees, and they had people out pulling spaghetti off of the trees and packing it in cans and shipping it off to Great Britain. But 8 million Britons
tuned in to see it.
Tuned in to see the great spaghetti harvest.
That is hilarious.
So that's pretty good. And then one of the earlier ones in 1698, Londoners were invited to the Tower of London to witness the washing of the lions. and a whole crowd showed up. And then it's been recreated several times in the past, particularly in the 19th century, 1800s. And people would show up. And of course, in Alaska, and you might know about this.
I know this story very well. Yes.
A guy named Oliver Porky Bickerer collected 70 tires. He chartered a helicopter to deposit them in the crater of Mount Edgecombe, which is outside of Sitka, Alaska. He doused them with gasoline, lit them, creating the impression of a volcano erupting. And, you know, the local fire guys were in on it, but the Coast Guard wasn't. So they flew a helicopter in there. And when they got into the crater, all they found was a large April Fool painted in red paint on the snow in the crater.
Yes, that was a
they were not happy.
No, they were not. That was a huge story, I can tell you. Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
So, let's sort of go around the table. What are some memorable April Fool's things that you've experienced. And let me start with this is 1989 on Vashon in the Beachcomber. There was an article written by Ken Brooks that was, the headline was Frump Tower, F-R-U-M-P, Tower to Rise on Vashon. And this is how he started the article. And it was, of course, the April 1st edition of the Beachcomber. Said, can Vashon Island be the answer to New York real estate developer's dream? If the developer is the all-powerful Donald Frump, the answer is a resounding yes. Frump, frustrated by New York's limiting setbacks, building restrictions, hopes to erect a long-planned Frump Tower on Vashon Island. This is 30 years ago, 35 mm-hmm. years ago.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Wow. And awesome. Donald Trump was a presence.
Wow, that's something.
So, Truman, let's start with you. April Fools.
Well, I may cheat a little bit here because I'm not positive this was actually on April Fool's Day, but this is one that I did, and so I have to share it with you. This was a PA that I made on a flight out of Anchorage one day, so I'll just recreate the PA. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard Alaska 9671 to Honolulu, Hawaii. We got a little bit of headwind this morning. Flight time today is 6 hours, 17 minutes. Weather when we arrive in Honolulu, beautiful 75 degrees, light inshore breeze out of the west. And route of flight today, we're going to be taking off to the north, a left turn out over Turnagain Arm and across the Kenai Peninsula, going out over open water, just about Kodiak Island. And we'll be over the ocean until we get to the north shore of Oahu. What? Yeah. Honolulu. What? No, not Red Dog, man. Come on. Are you sure? If I'd known it was Red Dog, I wouldn't be taking this flight. Don't you know it's 15 degrees and blowing 30 knots out of the south up there? Let me see that. Oh, man, I should have known. Well, folks, it looks like there's a change of plan. We're going to be going to Red Dog today, an hour and 42 minutes. You heard the weather, so just sit back and, well, you know the rest.
Did they storm the cockpit?
Right. Yeah. No, I actually had a round of applause because that particular flight, we used to fly a charter up to the Red Dog Mine, which was, it had a gravel runway. I mean, it was a very interesting deal. And we always flew a whole bunch of folks up there on a Monday, and then I think another on Friday. So it was shift change kind of thing. So these people were used to flying with us all the time. They were great. But they did applaud loudly after I said that. So that's my April Fool's.
That's a good one.
Thanks.
Greg, are you an April Fooler?
No.
Well, except for today.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Except for the little sign that went on the door. That's true. I had to get in the spirit.
We inspired you.
Yeah, that's true. You did inspire me with the theme that was one of the themes we had today. I've been the subject of some April Fool's jokes, like Truman, this may not have exactly happened on April Fool's Day because all of us have a heightened sensitivity to what's going on around us generally on April Fool's Day. You're ready for it. So the way to pull off a trick like an April Fool's joke is to engage in some misdirection and fake that, you know, change the timing sort of. I just want to say my wife, Lynette, is the master of surprise parties. She has given me, I think she's probably given me a half a dozen surprise birthday parties. My birthday comes up here in a little while. And every year I go, that was incredible. You know, I'm ready for it the next year. But, you know, maybe the next year didn't happen, or maybe the next year it happened in an entirely different way. But the one that was the most successful, and some of you who want to throw a surprise party for somebody, you might consider this route. It was the weekend before my birthday. My birthday was like on a Wednesday. So it was the weekend before, and I came home, and when I walked in the house after work, hiding around the house were about 10 of our best friends, and they all yelled, happy birthday, surprise, all that sort of stuff. Oh, that was great. But it was a beautiful evening, and we, you know, had a wonderful party. And I thought, oh, that was nice. That was really nice. So the following weekend, a good friend of mine who flies an airplane or flew an airplane, not Truman, but another one, came by and picked me up and took me up to Friday Harbor, where I had a beer. He couldn't have a beer because he was flying. But that was his kind of birthday present to me. And we came back to the house. And there at the house, unbeknownst to me, in the garage, are about 80 people.
Oh, my gosh.
Excellent. Excellent.
And Lynette goes, oh, no, that wasn't the party last weekend. This is the party.
This is the party. The real
this is the real party.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well so played.
She did. She got me good. So I really do appreciate. I'm not expecting anything like that, Lynette. So.
However.
I'll just take the presents. No, I got
Kevin, how about you?
Well, this is also another one that came to mind, Craig, when you told your story that, not an April Fool's, but there was a fellow at work, a coworker, who was a phenomenal human being and a lot of fun to be around. And it turned out he was a helicopter flyer. So at Boeing, they had a flying club and they had helicopters you could fly. And so anyway, his birthday came around. And so we said, we're going to go up to Seattle, and a bunch of people signed on, and maybe, you know, 20 folks. And so we told Mike that we had a surprise for him. We were going to take him to this place. We couldn't tell him where, and we couldn't tell him who's going to be there, but it was his birthday, so would he play along? And he said, sure. So, okay, so we get him out in the car, we blindfold him, and we drive around for like 10 minutes, like we're going someplace, right? And it turns out that we didn't have any intention of leaving the area, because his friend, who was also a helicopter pilot, offered to fly him to this place that we were going. I think it was probably up at Boeing Field and something like the Museum of Flight, maybe, is where we had that. And so we're driving around with Mike, and he's, you know, wondering where we're going. And so we rendezvous with the helicopter, and there was just north of the plant, there was a place where they were going to put in a bunch of warehouses, but nothing was built yet. It was pretty much roads with no buildings. And Esterbrook lowered the helicopter. He was like 5 feet off the ground. And we drove up into the cul-de-sac thinking Mike would be totally shocked. Well, of course, he heard the helicopter, and he knew that it was like one of the helicopters. Apparently, they have a pretty
distinctive sound
profile. And so he like, okay, this is cool, but yeah, I kind of get it. But that was fun. It was a great test.
It's awesome.
Allow Mike to get a helicopter ride up to his birthday lunch that day.
Cool.
Fantastic. Miss Amy, how about you?
Yeah, no, April Fool's comes and goes at our house a lot, you know, because oftentimes the nation feels like a practical joke on for many of our residents.
How do you top that?
Yeah, for so long our world has felt like a practical joke on many people. But for sure, I do remember one time, and I can't remember what year it was or when it was, but I did return to the office in Denver where I was working at the center, and they had filled my entire cubicle with balloons a cake in the middle. So, you know, the joke really is that you have to like pop them,
that's
right?
That's a lot of balloons.
It was like probably, I don't know, like a 6x6 cubicle kind of deal. So, you know, it was pretty good. But the prankster of the family, my cousin, is a great prankster. And he has done many things. He's listed people's houses for sale when they've gone on vacation.
Nice.
He created a pen and left a pig for someone while they were on vacation before.
He didn't enlist anybody in the Marines. That used to be a classic.
That's pretty good. Yeah, no, I don't think he went. I don't think he went that deep on it. But he is known. He's known for some pretty good practical jokes. And those were definitely. I think the listing someone's house for sale while they're on vacation is pretty good, because you know it's. I was like the, you know, the high funny, low impact.
Speaking of which, you were talking about how you just got back from Denver. I understand you buy your tickets by a 10-pack.
Right.
It's round trip ticket.
They just
clip the ticket.
It's the frontier. It's the frontier punch card. You get to ride in the bathroom if you want. Yeah.
The frontier seatbelts there now.
I mean, no, Frontier, you could. They sell off their amenities, about a $4 Coke on the plane.
Is that what you normally fly to Denver, is Frontier?
You know, I do every once in a while because it's just, the prices still can't be beat. You know, it is the Greyhound of the skies, and it's how a lot of the people get back and forth. And, you know, when you're flying $40 one way,
Time I got had Frontier tickets, I think they were to Cleveland, Ohio. Mm-hmm. No plane, nothing.
Yeah, no, it's 50-50, no. You know, like you get what you pay for. It's 50-50, yeah. But if you're willing to be the subject of what feels like an April Fool's joke during your travel, then yes.
Well, I have to tell you, when I first started flying for Alaska, I was in the 727, and I was an engineer, right, up in the three-person cockpit. And a buddy of mine said, before you get too cocky about being an airline pilot, just remember that there are four seats that ride sideways on the 727 and three of them flush. Yeah, okay, right.
You do remind me, though, that putting somebody's house up for sale when they're away does remind me of a good friend of mine, Ollie, who is a PhD psychologist, amongst other things. Abnormal psychology is his specialty.
And, sounds appropriate. I bet he can cook up some jokes.
Yeah, yeah. He is a trickster from day one. Mm-hmm. And he told me at one point that he, in his early retirement, trying to find something entertaining to do, he would call businesses that he did not work for to let them know that he was not going to be able to come in that day because he was feeling not so swell. And he didn't want his colleagues, you know, to get sick or anything. And he would go on about how they were, who exactly are you again? Ollie Newsom. And who do you work for? And, of course, he had the chance sometimes to look up some person, and then they would be like, how do I find that person and tell them that their employees, I don't know, have any record of you, what's going on? Now, whether he actually did that, he might have been fooling me, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it does bring up an interesting, you know, alignment between the psychopath and the prank, right? It's a fine line of just the...
What's normal? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. What's Abby normal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. All right, how about you, Bruce?
Well, I've been on a Vashon for 50-some years, and it's fascinating to watch what are the trigger points on Vashon on April Fool's Day. Things like the Frump Tower. But, you know, almost every year over the past 20, 30 years, somebody has put up a sign for a Dairy Queen, you know, or some kind of, you know, whatever.
Burger King.
Yeah, Burger King. Yeah, I mean, whatever it is. And people go wild. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just sort of like, I think we have such a conception of what Vashon is, you know, in our heads, that anything out of that normal is sort of like, oh, no, you can't do that on Vashon.
Yeah, I told you about my buddy and I put up a sign at the Muckleshoot property saying home of the current, you know, the current new home of the Muckleshoot Casino.
Right. Yep.
Right. It didn't last a day, man. Somebody took that right down.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, Vashonites always feels now like they're pulling an April Fool's joke with the anonymous. I think a couple weeks ago there was the Liberal Militia troll post.
That was, that got you leaning. And then you thought, I'm wondering if that's real or just, throwing some chum on the water.
And then I think... When Valise maybe was empty for a while, there was the pawn shop. Yeah, they put up the sign that, you know, there was going to be a pawn shop going in.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Vashon is full of some good pranksters, have to say.
They're, it is.
Yeah.
It is. And for a long time, the Beachcomber would always have an April Fool's edition. And, I mean, they just have these outlandish stories, you know, like Frump Tower, you know. They had a story one time about drilling for treacle on the west side because they called it the syrupy west side of Vashon Island. And they were going to build a chrome, you know, 6-inch pipeline right across the island to sort of get that treacle out to where it could be picked up.
It's the ones like the liberal militia that you're not sure.
Sure, yeah, right.
Could possibly be. Right?
Yeah, you're right. Not really sure. The one that caught my attention, because I knew about this before I saw it written up, was the third runway going on Vashon.
Yeah.
And that was not a joke. That was considered.
That was serious.
Well, I always thought Vashon would be a great spot for an international airport. I mean, because the approaches are awesome.
Breaking news, everyone. Yeah.
Well, they did that in Hong Kong.
Why not here? Yeah.
Well, I do have to say this morning I did drive by the now I think it's King County property, which the sheepdog trials used to be held. Mm-hmm. There are no signs there this morning, so, you know, jump on it. You have the opportunity right
That's
now.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Get that April Fool's sign up there for, I don't know, mm-hmm. condo unit or whatever.
There you go.
Yeah. So, you know, we could go on about Vashon, but let's talk about what's going on international and national, and let's sort of just go around the table again in terms of what's your perception of what's happening right now, and what are the big things that you see going on right now? Do you want to start with that, Truman, or is that?
Yep. Well, you know, I keep thinking about Donald Trump and his response to Putin, mm-hmm. and I can't get it. I just try to get it, and I'm not getting there. I don't know. I mean, he switches gears between Zelensky and Putin, and it's like, what is he trying to pull? I just don't get that. And does anybody have a clue what the confusion? I mean, why he's creating the confusion? I mean, there's got to be some.
I don't want to give him too much credit.
Well,
for planning.
That could be.
He loves chaos.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that.
And it's sort of like, you know, it's what creates chaos and sort of shifting positions.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. But that, boy, that just makes no sense to me at all.
Mm-hmm. Trump Tower, Moscow.
Well, some of the other things are very obvious. I mean, if you get rid of the people who are doing the inspector generals, mm-hmm. then they can't follow up on the other stuff that you're doing. If you go after the attorneys, you know, and put the attorney firms, then they can't. You know, so those things make sense. But this business does not make sense to me at all. I can't get it. So.
Unless you're a Russian agent.
Well, there is that.
Which is always that conspiracy theory, too. Yeah, you know, it's sort of like I was reading an article the other day about, you know, about just those kind of sort of cozying up to Russia, mm-hmm. and sort of that all of these concepts of, are these really Russian agents in the midst of the American government? And the reporter's sort of conclusion was, we don't really know, but if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck and it sounds like a duck and it flies like a duck, mm-hmm. it's probably a duck. And so it just makes you wonder.
What I wonder is what Putin has on Trump. I mean, I think Trump was over there and he's got something big on him, you know, video or something. And Trump has got enough of an ego that if he uses it, it would definitely damage his ego. That's what I think. And
well, in this world of disinformation that we live in, it's hard to know. It's hard to know what to believe, what not to believe. Right. And that's really sort of the attack on truth that I see going on. It just makes it really almost impossible to respond.
But it's mm-hmm. April Fool year round.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Just it's not about being able to discern what's true or not. It's that you cannot trust anything, right? Exactly. So you stop. Right.
Well, when you say
looking
something
at information
over and over and over again, that's not true, and you have an army of people that repeat it and are willing to accept it. It's tough. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's tough to bring you back to reality. So I see this old plan on how to to change our entire government. As one commentator said the other day, I got a kick out of it. He goes, yeah, it's the same thing that happened in Germany in the 1930s. you know, you undermine the media, you undermine the judiciary, you undermine the legislative branch. You know, you go far out there with ideas that are outrageous, and then you back off of them when you get some pushback. But now you've kind of normalized that as a possibility, so you go back to it again. Mm-hmm. And the comment he made was, he goes, I was hoping that in my country, at least it would have been something more imaginative. than exactly that same playbook.
American exceptionalism.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We can do it better.
Yeah. I definitely saw, you know, I saw a comment that was, I always expected that the world would be ruined by powerful men, but I never expected them to be such losers.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
And to have so many women, you know, participating.
That wasn't maybe not a progressive persuasion statement, but you know, I don't think we've talked about the signal gate, right? Is incredible, right? Talk about like normalizing something that is 100% not normal.
And to say that there's no problem with that. Let's just move on.
Mm-hmm.
There's no problem.
After the way they hounded Hillary for her emails,
that's the hypocrisy and the injustice. Right, yeah. But just the mere fact that you're putting the lives of CIA and Army, Navy, you know, military individuals at risk, it's not, you just don't.
Well, yeah. The interviews with the F-18 pilots flying off the carriers. Those guys are not happy.
Yeah,
I can tell you, they were very much not.
Well,
happy.
That's what happens when you make a DUI hire.
Yeah, that's true. And he was saying, well, no routes or no anything. Where do you think they were taking off from, dude?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the route is pretty darn clear where they're launching from anyway, and you know where they're going to be going to. So, I mean, this is ridiculous. Oh, yeah, we didn't have any targets listed. We didn't have any routes listed. Who cares? You know, that's not important.
So your Army buddies checking in with you about that?
You know, it's really interesting. They have not. And I have had a couple of signals from one of my Army buddies. And I'm tempted to poke him a little, but I haven't done it yet. So I'm waiting.
It'd be worth, because my brother-in-law is a retired colonel. Mm-hmm. And in the Army, flew helicopters. Mm-hmm. And he is, he's what I would call a moderate Republican conservative. He calls himself an independent, but he's really on the right side of the center, slightly. And he is just outraged. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is just livid about this, this signal sort of a breach. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, and I can't imagine, you know, I mean, you'll get the top generals who are appointed, to offices or whatever, sort of toeing the line, but the colonels and the majors, I mean, I cannot imagine that they are just not livid.
Well, one of my Montana buddies is a Marine. Mm-hmm. Once a Marine, you're always a Marine. Right. You're not an ex-Marine. And he's the guy that I really want to poke a little to see what he has to say.
Yeah, you just wonder how often this is. Signal's been used.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, and they're discovering, right, that Waltz has many of these. And just to be fair a little bit, fair and balanced on the other side of it is, Tulsi Gabbard's role in all of this. And, she pulled a con job on the far left as well. Not to say that the left of the spectrum cannot be taken in as well by folks who are, cons and bad operators, for sure. She got her toehold in with the left in 2016 as well. So I'll acknowledge that as well.
Well, there's an old political science theory that still holds, is that if you put the political spectrum not on a line but on a circle, that when you move from the center, as you move further left and further right and further left and further right, they don't move away from each other. They come back together.
Mm-hmm.
And so the extreme left, the extreme right are both at the edge of willing to accept violence, willing to break norms, willing to break rules, willing to break the law. And so, you know, we often think of it as a spectrum across a vertical, I mean, a horizontal line. But if you think about it as a circle, you know, then those extreme right and extreme left really in many ways come together because of the methodologies they use.
And no, and she took in folks in, you know, as to, in the center left as well, know. She really ran a job on a lot of folks, a lot of Democrats in 2016.
Yes. Well, just to circle back to Signalgate. So I happen to be recently familiar with this application, and what I've found is that when you set up one of those Signal, you invite people to it, number one. So you have to intentionally do that. And then as people accept that invitation or not, there's actually like a multi-step process to say, this person is accepted. Will you accept their, you know, acceptance? And and everybody on the channel sees that, those correspondences. So it is... If anybody believes that it was just sort of oops, overlooked a mistake, that it happened, number one, is then you don't understand Signal.
That's good information.
Number two is
I hadn't heard.
That somebody had to really have screwed up, right, to let the the Atlantic journalist on board, because there are, it isn't just one, put in a phone number and you're done.
Right.
It is iterative.
You mean his name wasn't just sucked into?
Sucked in. I can't understand.
So there may be third agents in there, right? So sort of like, okay, let's put this guy on the chat.
Well, just, you know, what I'm
wondering. You just have multiple chances to get the list right.
Right.
You had to screw up multiple times.
The one thing that that keeps coming out is that it sounds like these guys are bragging about what they're doing. So perhaps they were wanted to include this guy because they wanted it to get out that, hey, look, boy, we're really doing the stuff here, you know? So maybe it was intentional.
It might have been intentional,
Well, that really is stupid.
Oh, yes. No, it's totally stupid.
But egos can overrule common sense.
All the emojis and flames and... There's another thing that that drove me crazy this week. I heard a quote from an Indiana representative, a woman, when she was talking about the seizure of the individuals off the street and taken off to El Salvador. Basically, she basically said, well, since they're guilty, they're not entitled to due process. And I'm thinking, you kind of got that backwards. You know, you don't get to call them guilty based on next to nothing and then say you don't get due process. I mean, that's lynch mob. Justice is worse than that.
Well, it's the stripping away of the veneer, right? Because you know, if you're black, you're guilty, and then you get a chance maybe to prove your innocence. You know, it's just this stripping away of the veneer of the politesse, I guess, of what America has put forward. And I don't know if that's good or bad, or I think it's very bad for a lot of people. I think on the other hand, we're looking at some really raw truths that we hadn't been looking at before about, you know, who America has been and, you know, what we could be. But it is to me very discouraging to think that we are maybe giving up on the better angels of our nature.
Well, and it's that concept of just a fundamental attack on the rule of law. You know, and it's sort of like, I mean, American legal practice and the American legal system has always had questionable borders. You know, there's always been, you know, abuses of the system, you know, since we were formed as a country. But the core of it has held. And that's right now under attack, I think. Don't you, Craig?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when you've got the President of the United States on the one hand basically agreeing that you're not entitled to due process because somebody decided that you're guilty, but on the other hand, he's had every potential form of due process, and he's complaining because he says, well, I've determined I'm innocent. I mean, it's absurd.
Well, and then saying that the whole process is against him.
Yeah, any judge who decided against him needs to be impeached. I mean,
exactly.
It's just unbelievable.
These pillars that are, the administration is counting on these pillars to continue to prop them up, right? And they're threatening those pillars to not take action against them, right? We've heard about the law firms. We've heard about colleges. And, of course, the reaction is let's focus our attention on certain bad actors, Tesla takedown protests, you know, across the country. The thing that I will be fascinated to watch is to what extent that grows and other parties are brought to the focus of the protest actions. You know, one debate I was in actually during the Resistance Labs activity that Pramila Jayapal is hosting. If you go search Resistance Labs Pramila, you will be able to sign up for the next one, where she is basically giving instructions about how to deal with the situation we're in. And the question was, you know, should we all focus on, you know, a person like Elon Musk and Tesla as a signal to all of the other, you know, law firms and colleges and other, you know, billionaires who are supporting the current administration, or should that spread out? And one school of thought was focus all your energy on the one person, so that will send the message to the others. But it's not clear to me that the others feel threatened without also including them as a potential for the concerns that, you know, that people are out there peacefully sharing with media and whoever else they can get their attention. So I'm going to be watching that. And I'm kind of a fan of those who think they're hiding we need to let them know that they're not hidden, that they can also experience as much outrage from people when they support what's going on in the country, because it is our country, and we need to be able to make sure that it remains ours.
So I just want to step back just for one second.
Sure.
Captain Joe just came in.
Yeah.
And Captain Joe, you being a career military man, I'm just curious what your feelings are about both this signal of business and also what your thoughts are about the canning some of the higher ranking folks from the Pentagon and what your thoughts about that are.
About the signal, I've been around classified information at the highest level my entire career. And in fact, I'm going to talk a little bit about it on my broadcast today. But in Vietnam, we had top secret intelligence that was sent to us every day. And we handled that by only the captain, XO, and two or three other people, especially when it came to targeting. And so I am just amazed and aghast and appalled at this particular breach. And even more so about the inability of anybody to say we screwed up and we need to fix it and not let something like that happen again. So I will be talking a little bit about that on my own broadcast, but that's my feelings about the signal one. About the high-level people, of course, my own commandant was the first one to be let go. And regardless of my feelings about whether or not she was the best that we had, the way that it was done and the way that all of these things are being done is beyond my any of my personal experience. And in fact, all of the whole business of people being moved on to other places and other things is not the way that either I managed my own people or was managed myself by my own superiors. So again, as with the signal thing, this is beyond my own experience. And again, this is just not the way you handle people.
Yeah, thank you, Captain Joe. And I just want to remind folks, Captain Joe's show comes up at 12:30. It's from the captain's chair, and I recommend that anyone who wants to listen definitely do that. It's very
great.
Interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Captain.
Thank you, Captain. So we're down to the last minute. Kevin, maybe some quick thoughts, 30 seconds, on we've got three major elections going on today. Any projections or any thoughts?
We need to really keep an eye on Wisconsin. That is going to be the close race of the three. Florida, those races were won in the 30s. There's a lot of hope and enthusiasm that those seats will flip. I have held back on encouraging people to donate there because Wisconsin, of course, needed every dollar they can get, and I'm very hopeful that we will see the Wisconsin Supreme Court go to Susan Crawford today.
We'll know tomorrow or within a few days. So we're at the end of our hour. Craig, what's in store for next week?
Yeah, we're going to be graced with the presence of Michael Mead, our own Vashon Michael Mead, storyteller, author, scholar of mythology, anthropology, psychology. He's going to have a broad-ranging discussion and maybe talk a little bit about how to live in this time of overwhelm.
Definitely a time of overwhelm. So for Truman, Amy, Craig, Kevin, I'm Bruce, and we thank you for listening. We will see you again next week on the Brown Briefly.
And see you in Olympia on the 5th.